Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear, dear friend, who's coming to you from the Three Rivers, the banks of the Three Rivers, right? Dave Damashek. What are the banks of the Three Rivers? What are they? It's Wells Fargo.
Wait a second. You don't know. Well, first of all, let me just say this, and we'll get into it here. But happy birthday, Sal! Half a century on the big blue marble. You look okay, I guess. I mean, are you happy with the way you look?
No, because I wanted to get down to the same weight as 40, which was nothing to write home about. But I didn't get there.
I do want to hear about that. Now, you're a man who's been around for a few years. You can't name the Three Rivers of Pittsburgh?
No, the banks. You say the banks of the Three Rivers. I want to know the banks. The Three Rivers of Ohio.
I'm on the eastern soil.
You're on the east. How many banks are there? Is there just four banks?
We can count them up. I don't know. Like, how's that work? Like a six-way intersection or something? What kind of quiz is this? Shouldn't you know the Three Rivers? Please, go ahead.
Yeah. The Three Rivers. It's the banks is what I don't know. It's the Ohio. It's the Mahagalani, and it's the Roberto Clemente River. I don't know. I forget the third one. I don't know. What is it?
Right. Well, it's the Allegheny and the Monongahela. You got close. Yeah, they converge to mighty Ohio, and as I've said before, I know that that bum state of Ohio has very little else going for it, but that's no excuse that they should claim a river that forms in Pittsburgh. We must change it to the Lemieux River. Let's make that our big campaign for fall of 2021.
All right.
I'll say you, Sal. Also, Sal.
Does global warming threaten the fact? Could it go down to two rivers ever? I mean, would we ever? I don't know. Are you ever going to have to change your tune with that? I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, Sal. So, 50 years on the planet Earth. It is interesting to see people you haven't seen in a while that are our age now, as I have here in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow, I haven't seen that guy in a while. Like, ooh, geez, he kind of looks old. And then I'm sure they think the same thing. When you look in the mirror, though, do you feel like, well, I know other guys that are this age. Like, do you feel like, okay, I'm doing better than they are? Or like, ooh, wow, wish I had more hair like that guy does or something.
Par, right? Par for the course, I think. I think so, yeah.
You're nice and tan, that's for sure.
Good for a lot of my buddies from New York are all bald. You know, I don't think I'm getting any taller, so that's going to stay. And I don't know. I mean, you went through this last year. It's weird because we were going through on Laugh Lines the worst things about birthdays. And there's like the early morning calls from the old relatives. Like my Aunt Chippy called at 6:20 and 6:40. So when she passes away, it's going to be terrific. I could sleep till like 10:30. But
Vegas. She would have called. It would have been 3:30 in the morning if she were on the east.
I know. We need to move her to Hawaii. So when she wakes up, it's a normal hour. Yeah. But and then there's the because I'm not on Facebook and people know this, so I'm getting texted all day long. I'm so fucking popular. And you could literally spend the entire day thanking people for wishing you happy birthday. But no, growing old is the worst part about it, because you're going to run out of these, right? We're not going to have any of these soon.
It's right. The trade-off is like, it's a bummer turning 50, but there is an alternative that would be even worse.
To not get there?
Not turning 50.
Yeah. That's it.
How many titles over under? This is a very long play. On Sal's deathbed, how many titles will his teams have won between 50 and his death?
It's so funny. I thought about this.
You might get this one. How many did you get in your first 50?
First 50, so the Mets was just 86. And the Cowboys, I got me four, right? Did they get me four or three? They got me three, right?
Well, if you count 12, did you watch 12 against the Broncos? Were you watching that as a little kid?
I think I was just in like right then. I know he would call me a bandwagoner then. Yeah, I guess. So they got me four, I guess. Right.
All right,
I was watching that. So, all right. So that four, so five total. And then the four Stanley Cups. Nine's pretty good, right?
That's a decent accomplishment. I think there are many 50-year-old fans who are probably looking up at you in the standings right now.
Yeah, I think, it's weird. I don't know. What do you think? You think 1.5 for 50 to 75, God willing?
Well, like I say, your Metropolitans are
I thought you were going to say Cowboys. All right.
No, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say the Cowboys. No.
We should talk about that real quick while they're the tips of our tongues. They're on Hard Knocks, and my immediate reaction was like, "Oh, Jerry, why do you like this so much? Why are you the only one who likes this Hard Knocks thing?" And then I was looking, and Hard Knocks teams have gone over their projected win total 3 of the last 4 years. Actually, all 3 years, because it was the Chargers went under last year, but the Rams went over, and then the Browns went over, and the Raiders, right? That was the year sandwiched year. You had Baker's rookie year went over. You had the Antonio Brown Raiders that went over, and you had the Rams. So which way do I look at it, Check? Do I look at it? They're 7-14 this century if you bet their over win total, or do you bet go, all right, Hard Knocks team, this is a good thing? Well, I always thought of it as a bad thing.
There was the dynamic that existed until, I don't know, it maybe was the Raiders year where you felt like that for a long run of the show, I could never not be seduced by whoever was the feature team on Hard Knocks. It was like
in a positive way. You thought going forward,
every time you watch, if you watch the thing, you're like, well, this team's going to be awesome. It's a microcosm of exactly what I have said a million times. And I'll say a million at first. In summertime, it's way easier to talk yourself into, oh, that team has a chance to be good and be a playoff contender, versus like, oh, that team's definitely going to stink. Now the Herm Edwards, a Hard Knocks with the Chiefs when it was a Brody Croyle versus who was that guy? Remember that QB battle, the all-time most embarrassing, sad, like, boy, how am I going to get excited if I'm a Chiefs fan about Brody Croyle or the other guy getting the starting gig? And every week you sat on the edge of their seat. Who's going to get the first string gig for these Chiefs so that they can come in last place this year?
Well, you look at it psychologically, and it's like they do it in a great way, because the bad part of the team, those guys are all cut, right? And then you even feel bad for some of those guys. The good part is Accenture, and they focus on it. Like, aside from the Brody Croyle, you pretty much feel good about every quarterback that's featured on Hard Knocks, right? I think they paint them for the most part in the best light.
Yeah, I think – oh, Damon Heward says babyface producer Joel. That's who the battle was between.
Yeah, they've done better since then.
Yeah, I know for some reason it's I gather that it's an unpopular thing to say. Like, I like Jerry Jones with the way he comports himself with this. Now, I'm very glad as a Steelers fan that the Steelers – who – I'm with you. It's like – you always hear the Rooney family, like, we'd love to be one of the teams playing in Mexico. We'd love to play in Germany. Like, what do you do? He's like, what spreads the good word of the sport and spreads the Steelers brand? Like, nah, don't do that. It's just going to create a headache and travel and jet lag and everything else. Just skip that. But I do like that Jerry Jones, he reveals himself to be a man in that he, at least as the owner, like when he cuts any bum, they come to his office. He's like, well, we're going to let you go now. We're going to go get out there and play football.
Oh, he loves the camera.
Well, yeah, but you know what? It's better than the way the Bengals used to do it. Like, hey, it's 5:30 a.m., man. Bring your playbook. Go see the coach. Like,
what? Do I know you? Right, yeah. No, I like it. I like the meddling
like
owner.
Like Chippy. Maybe they could get Chippy to go around.
She should be the one.
Perfect. Under the cloak.
Even earlier.
Perfect.
No one answers the door.
Get out of here. Give me a playbook. You don't get to
take
keep that
shit and get out of here. There's a bus leaving in 10 minutes. Yeah, she would do that. Yeah, Jerry, I think we talked about it, and you and Hench talked about it on Minus 3 and Spaghetti. I miss the meddling. Oh, we're going to miss the meddling owner. Like, we miss Al Davis already. It's fun having him around, right? We miss George Steinbrenner. Like, the Yankees would have had 4 managers this year. That was back in the day. It was a little extreme, right? But, you know, if you won the pennant, it was a coin toss. If you were coming back, Billy Martin, Bob Lemon, whoever. But
if it was some incorporated ownership group with the Yankees, you'd be like, oh, it's such a – people would lament the lack of Steinbrenner. This is Steinbrenner's son. Like, did he learn nothing from the old?
I know.
You got to
can
Aaron Boone, man. Yeah, can him now and then bring him back in mid-September.
Right. Cowboys 2002 under Campo, Dave Campo. Oh, my God, I remember that. They went to SeaWorld when people were allowed to go to SeaWorld. He went in that crazy – when he was in that outfit, that wetsuit at SeaWorld, I was like, this is trouble. And then Chad Hutchinson was their quarterback. I think he had like 8 interceptions, 7 touchdowns, or the other way around. They went – 5-11. Then 2008, decent team. Wade Phillips was the coach. You love Wade. Romo was the quarterback, had a good year. They were 9-7 and came in third in the division. Imagine being 9-7 in the NFC East and coming in third. Never happen again, I don't think. So that's hard knocks for the Cowboys. Hopefully, you know, we'll get to see how fat Zeke gets, and it'll be fun, some fun moments.
That's what you'll do. Is if nothing else, no matter how grim it feels, all you have to do is put in the VHS tape of Dave Campos, Cowboys.
Right.
As I've said before, and again,
can't get worse.
You just, I mean, like, I am no fan of the Cowboys brand, of course.
What?
But there is. It's unbecoming. It's like Notre Dame stinking. It's like when Bob Davey coached the Fighting Irish. It's like, come on, this is too good a brand. You can't have this.
Right.
Dave Campo cannot be the overseer of the Dallas Cowboys brand. This is embarrassing.
Campo and Hutchinson. Yeah, really bad. Let's go to Suns. Not so big market teams. It was Suns and Bucks. This is the series we're giving, Dave. And by the way, I point out, and that's all I'm doing is pointing out that, Silver must be going nuts. Commissioner Silver wants to jump off a bridge with the Suns and Bucks. And then everyone's like, oh, well, only four teams can make the finals. And you're like, no, I'm just pointing it out. This is fine. Of course, it's great. The Suns are a really good team. They allow 101 points per game average. They deserve to be there. But I could point out, right, that this is not ideal for the NBA, especially with all the stars going down. And Giannis, Shaq, jumps in not an hour or two before the game, about 5 minutes before the game, it's announced he's playing. Now, he went from doubtful to questionable to doubtful and game time decision. I don't like this. As a gambler, we have too much money on these games. We bet the race to 10, as you know, on Tuesday. We lost in spectacular fashion again. We were up 8-7. Then we were down 9-8. And Giannis, I think, scored 4 of the 10 points. He basically came back to ruin our race to 10 because the Bucks didn't win the game and they didn't even cover. He just wanted to ruin the race to 10. But anyway, what do you think about this coming back? I kind of feel like they need to do something here. It's too much money at stake. You can't announce this 3 minutes.
That's exactly what I said the other day. Yeah. Gamblers have a voice now in sport, you know, and you really can't. The people who it screws the most is the gamblers out there,
right?
To do this nonsense.
Gamblers, fantasy players, fantasy, all that stuff.
And people say, well, that's certainly, we're not going to account. Yeah, you have to. You can't, like, oh, I don't know how you thread that needle, but they do have to do something. You can't, the status can't change like this. Minutes before the game. Now, I was seated, full disclosure, in PNC Park. Beautiful. I mean, finest ball yard in all of baseball.
They say that's the best place to watch a basketball game on a phone.
Yeah. Well, I tried to keep an eye on it, but it was too exhilarating, Sal. It was, I mean, the atmosphere, electric, against the Braves. the Bucks, of course, won that game. When the pitcher walked in with the bases loaded, walked in the game-winning run.
Nice.
By the way, I do want to say very quickly, Jean-Claude Van Damischek yelled at Arcia in the outfield. Arcia, who hit a home run for the Braves. He's Arcia in the outfield. That's how loaded the stadium was, that the outfielders could actually hear us yelling at them. And Arcia, that was a lucky hit. And Arcia did this to him.
He turned and stared at him.
He did. He stared at him. Yes, that was good in audio. That's good for a podcast.
Yeah, I know. I felt like I had to.
Thank you for describing the action.
Do the play-by-play.
You could be
there.
You could do a color analysis.
I mean, do they let the? How many fans were? They must have had fans there, right? I mean, it's still a
I think I think I was able to count 78 people.
No, come on. So he could have tapped RC on the shoulder, and the security wouldn't have
just
budged.
About. Yeah, just about.
Interesting.
But, So. That's less than ideal for the better. I will say that I do like the Suns to continue this role, although the people predicting a sweep, I think, are a little over their skis. I think that the Bucks will get at least one game, but we're basically talking about, then again, the Stanley Cup final has blown up my assumptions about this. Like, once you get to 3-0, the team on the wrong side of that generally lays down. It's like, all right, what are we going to do? Let's go home for the summer. So we're basically betting on the Bucks to win either game 2 or game 3. If you don't believe that the Suns are going to sweep here, right? You're basically
118-105. Yeah. Well, first of all, with the Giannis thing, I think there needs to be My solution, without having thought about it too much, have a doctor, maybe Dr. Fauci, come out an hour before the game and announce it. And it could be just another big event in your day, you know?
I see.
If when there's a, right? Because an hour. Just give us 1 hour. For finals champions, yeah, Suns are minus 300 to win it all. The Bucks are plus 240. If you like that, you know, everybody, Suns and four. What happens to this guy, by the way? Does he go away? He's now doing something. Joel, what did you find, babyface? You found, he says he's now doing like appearances, right? Well, someone sent me this. He's doing some kind of appearances. But anyway, Suns and four to sweep is plus 550.
Signing autographs.
Yeah, he's got like a whole booth now. But I don't know how long this lasts. Plus 550 for Suns and four.
I think he gets a ring, Sal. Sal, do you think they give him a ring?
Yeah, that's what he needs.
Seriously.
I mean, he's going to be bashing people in the head with this ring. Do they want to be responsible for the Suns? I think they should consider themselves lucky and move on from them. But Suns and six is what I had, and right now that number is at plus 440. It was plus 450 yesterday, so they're still expecting the Bucks to steal a game or two. A lot of fun. You know, Giannis went out there, and he played, like I said, that race to 10, he just kind of killed me at 4 points. Went to the line, still no good from the line, 7 for 12, 20 points, 15 rebounds. But the MVP race for the Suns, obviously, everyone talking about Chris Paul, 32 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. And then you got Ayton, 22 points, 19 rebounds, insane. And then you got Booker, 27 points, 6 assists. Like 27 and 6 assists, you would think would be the best outing out of all of them. But no, those three. It's going to be tough to pick one out of those three.
Well, Eddie Spaghetti, shout out to him. He's not just picking home run hitters in MLB. Mm-hmm. He picked Ayton to take it. I think ultimately, yeah, he's going to have to keep putting up those massive double-double numbers in order to take it from Chris Paul, who's...
Because every story is Chris Paul after a win, right? He's 2 games away. Now he's 3 games away, right? Paul minus 140, Booker plus 550, and Ayton 10-1, Giannis 5-1.
I will say this. The nimble media in perpetuating positive sort of PR for its sports, it is funny. Like, if you got in, you don't have to get in a Wayback Machine. Just go get in a 6 weeks ago machine. And did anybody really give a crap? Did anybody have any passion for Chris Paul winning a title? Like, one thing that we must resolve in our sports world here is see Chris Paul. It's one thing if you're John Elway. That's not, people are treating this as like, thank goodness, justice, Chris Paul's gonna, like, all right, okay, good for Chris Paul. Nice.
Well, how about LeBron? LeBron outwardly rooting for him and the Suns now, the team that destroyed him, you know, sent him packing. He's like, yep, it's all Chris Paul now. Like, wow, that's a little weird.
LeBron's one of his buddies and all that. It's just very strange the way the media has picked up on this. It's like, this is this. Because I guess it speaks to what you said 5 minutes ago, much to the chagrin of other people who are getting upset, like, why can't you enjoy this? Because it's not the best it could have been. That's why. That's all. I want to, like, why can't you enjoy? Why does it have to be all the high end teams? Because that's what's fun about sports. That's what matters. What's that? These spaghetti and these vapid cynics. What are they talking about? Like, Sheck, why does it have to be the Lightning versus the Avalanche or the Penguins or whoever? Like, why can't it be one of these bum teams? Because I don't want to watch the bum teams the final if I have a choice in it.
Well, at the very least, at least you want the Stars playing. And
right, exactly.
Back,
that's what
so
we're
that's
not.
Good.
That's not what we're getting to see. And I do think it's bad news that Booker. I like this quote from Booker, who was my pick to get the MVP going into these finals. Chris Paul, he's been a bucket, man, and he's the greatest leader to play this game. But he's been a bucket for a very long time. And I want to tell you, Sal, you're our bucket.
Am I the bucket?
You're our bucket.
Wow.
You're our bucket.
I never thought of that. Yeah. Wow. All right. That's the nicest compliment I can get at 50. Yeah. It's everybody's going. How many point God tweets have you seen? Point God.
Who knew? I mean, really? Is it really? I consider him to be one of the great point guards of the generation. I'm just a little surprised, but
probably top five.
They have to talk about something. They have, I guess, it proves they will latch on to something to talk about. Much like as for we're sure, in a relative dead spot in the sports calendar, I guess, or we're coming up on one. The obsession with this golf jazz. I mean, like, all right, great.
Yeah,
all cute. It's all adorable. That's my reaction to all the golf jazz with Aaron. He's being naughty. He's not answering the question, Aaron Rodgers. And Tom Brady's a stinker. He's needling the Aaron Rodgers. Like, great.
Yeah.
Terrific. It's all planned.
I actually enjoyed it. I think this was one of the, I didn't see the last eight hole. I wasn't following as closely. But I actually enjoyed this one more than the others. And I'll tell you what, Tom Brady was funny. And I hate that. Yes. I hate that Tom Brady is funny. I don't want to know that Brad Pitt has a giant schlong and is a master pizza chef. You know, like he's a good-looking guy.
I know what you mean.
And he's a great actor. You know, I don't want Tom Brady to be funny. I want his tweets to fail. I want everything else other than the football. But there's nothing I can do about the football. But he's a funny guy. And more than one occasion, he's like, all right, here's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, the leader of the Green Bay Packers. 2021 starter Aaron Rodgers about to putt here. Really funny, like throughout. And and Phil gets in your head. It's not a bad match. I, of course, would like to see Romo, who would, you know, even up the stakes, you know, actually what we're watching on TV with the golf-wise. But it wasn't that bad. What, they won 3-2, right? Did you say they were going to win 3-1.5 or 3-2? No, Bryson and Rodgers won 3-2. So they basically had it wrapped up by the 16th hole, I believe. But it was interesting up until then, Brady and Mickelson putting
well, I mean, you know, obviously people enjoy it, and I'm just being silly, making fun, but they really should. Why not expand on this? People sit around and watch what's coming up now in Lake Tahoe, where the best players. So is Romo in that, by the way?
I don't know if he did this year. I'm not sure.
He's a guy who would potentially win that thing.
Yeah, he's been in it. Yeah.
But yeah, I was, that's exactly what I was thinking about. It's like, why do we only have, if people enjoy watching this, why don't we have two foursomes or three foursomes out there playing around?
Right.
Get Romo out there with somebody as well. Keep pairing.
You're right.
Them
there
up.
Is a lot of downtime. They could fill it a little bit. After a while, it's like, all right. Our friend Kevin Clark wrote about this and basically said, like, Aaron Rodgers is just like the rest of us, a guy who wants to play golf and not talk about work. It's like he comes off as a dick a little bit, but that, you know, when you think of it in those terms, like, yeah, it's true. He just doesn't want to, you know, but also maybe he should have thought of that beforehand. Like, there are going to be questions about this. And I feel like the Bronco blowhards are taking a step back a little as we approach now the second week in July, and he has not signed. I mean, I would be as surprised or not surprised if he signed with any other team than the Broncos at this point. Have we heard anything about the Broncos in the last 5 weeks? I still think he stays in the Packers. I think he figures something out, and, you know, they stroke him a little. That's what he needed. And he's getting his mental health straight, getting the mind frame. Maybe he just doesn't want to play football. So if I could bet Packers or no football, that would be my bet at this point.
Yeah, I don't buy the no football thing. He cares about it. He just presents as different. We're used to, you know, yeah, Brady is, and I agree with you, by the way, and it is vexing that he's so charming and everything else. And the first thing he does always, you know, wins the Super Bowl. First thing he does is looks for his daughter to pick her up and hug her and talk about his parents and, you know, and praise his team. Like, this isn't me. This is the team. But it comes off as more sincere when other guys do it. He's like, no, this is the team, and I'm not going to, the whole team's got to be, he does all that stuff. And he at least is a master of PR, if nothing else. He knows when there's a camera on him, the right thing and the wrong thing to say. He very rarely has misstep when you think about that. Rodgers does step in it more often, but he also he's a more sly personality. He doesn't seem like John Wayne, and he's not a type A personality, leader of men like John Elway or whatever. Mm-hmm.
He's more Little Wayne than John Wayne, but yeah, I know.
That's right. I think you just said it all there. But yeah, I think he is like an odd bird, and it is funny. I really do think when I watch this thing, forgive me for wearing black and gold glasses as I watch this thing.
Uh-oh.
All 21st century, Hall of Fame bound quarterbacks to a man with I'm trying to think, is there an exception to it? Is a pain in the ass. For whatever reason, they're prima donna in some way or the other. They want things just so. This is like being, I suppose, an A-list celebrity. You get used to a certain thing. You don't hear no a ton in your life and everything else. But Roethlisberger just really held. Imagine if Ben Roethlisberger was pulling the crap that Aaron Rodgers is pulling. Like, I don't know. Like, where is camp coming up in 3 weeks? Of course, Aaron Roethlisberger wouldn't be invited to play in a celebrity golf thing like this. But imagine if he were pulling this crap that Aaron Rodgers, like, oh, I'm so naughty. I don't know if I'm going to play Packers Nation. Like, or I don't know, Steelers. Not I may yet. Show up. I may not. Like, people would be this villain. He's the worst guy, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
But that's like, my point. I think that's going to be eventually that's going to be what the Packers fans do. And the Packers management's like, all right, you want to play this dumb game? Fine. You'll be hated. Right now, everybody's like, all right, we're on your side. We got your back. But it's going to be time to play football at some point. There's not going to be nothing
to do in
Green Bay.
I'm the opposite of you. I agree that the timeline now in football terms is getting very tight for him. Still, though, if I'm making a wager on Broncos starting quarterback week one, I am betting other Rodgers over Teddy B and Drew Lock. We were talking about it on -3 Spaghetti and I on Tuesday, and I floated those odds and I can't see them right now, but I still like those. But they're not that juicy, really, even if you consider that the guy is technically getting paid by the Packers at this point, that he's going to wind up over there. But I also think why have you not heard the Broncos? I wouldn't be surprised if we heard they're kind of, it's not 100% Rodgers. It might be Deshaun Watson if things broke right there, which they haven't. But
did you see that thing I sent you, that tweet I sent you about Deshaun Watson not playing? I that threw me for a loop.
Why were you so stunned that the odds are so heavy that he's not going to take a snap this year?
I thought he'd start. I thought all the criminal stuff won't sort itself out until, I don't know. I don't know why I think this, but there's going to be formal charges in the next 6 weeks. I mean, this is not FanDuel sponsored or anything, but I saw no is -3,500 that Deshaun Watson starts a game for the Houston Texans. Not the first game, not anything. A game. So he'll be suspended 17 games.
It's such a weird I'm trying to think, like, I hate when people say unprecedented when it's like, yeah, that happened 18 months ago too, but I really don't recall anything comparable to this. You can't run him out there.
You can't run him
out on the field right now, right? If you're the Texans or anybody, obviously you can't make a trade for him, but if you're the Texans, you know,
what's going to change between now? That what I want to know is what's going to change, because he's on the roster. He's number one on the depth chart right now. But what changes between now and
what if he gets?
Well, that's what I mean. So they know
September 28th. They know if he gets charged and he just he threw for 378 and three touchdowns and got picked off and 2 days ago. And now he's been charged.
On the 9-1 with the yes. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't know what happens. I feel like he will have to get charged, I think, between now and then. I think that's what's going to have to happen.
Well, and also, what's his name? Cully. What's his name? I can't think of the new coach?
Cully,
yeah, coach. He could have a big say in that, right?
Yeah.
Those odds.
Oh, man. I don't know what they're. I mean, do we just pound there under there? I mean, it's probably too high anyway for that division. Now, let's see. Houston, there's an over-under. It's four. It's four. It's like the Mets over-under when DeGrom pitches. The over-under is 4 wins for the Texans, and there are 17 games, so that's rough.
They definitely are the anomaly to my overarching point about, like, man, I can talk myself into any pro football team right now making
that's
the playoffs.
The
Texans are the one that I am 100% sure are not going to the playoffs.
Yeah, everyone jumped ship. Yeah, interesting. All right, so that's the golf. We talked about that. That's fun. Bryson, DeChambeau, and Rodgers, they were favored like -180. And they won. They beat Mickelson.
I don't like also Brady. In a smaller way. You're like, I don't like Brady being funny. I don't like that Aaron Rodgers has such a lovely golf stroke. You know,
I know it's really good.
Really has a lovely, lovely stroke.
It's really good. If he could just cut his hair, he'd be right there on tour with the rest of them. By the way, that was a spectacular course. I don't know how much you saw of the backdrop there in Montana. I was texting with Huey Lewis. I'm like, have you played this course? He's like, yeah, it's awesome. It's 3 hours away from him. And without like having water, it's the nicest course I've ever seen on TV. I don't know how it looked at then Three Rivers Stadium there.
As I was watching on my little screen there,
right.
It looked terrific. I could barely make it out though with with eating wieners and, you know, Iron City Lights and everything else while I was gone. But yeah, it looked nice.
The other thing is, it's nice to, when you get to appreciate how great the pros are. Like Brady will hit one about 40 yards from the green and in the, like, the first cut rough, and Mickelson's like, that's all right, partner. That's all right. I'll get you out. Like, oh, you're going to get him out here. You know, I don't know. You guys are not parring this. And then Mickelson just chips it like 9 inches from the hole. It's like, son of a bitch. How did he do that?
I wish everybody could do that. And I include myself in this, that of getting to see in, because obviously when you watch the Masters, they trick the course up to make it as difficult as it can possibly be, and they still solve it every year, but they do their best to really make the course lousy, or to put up a good number on when you're out there with a pro in any sport. Like, look what I can do when I have the time to do it. Like the thing of like, oh, I can hit the crossbar. I can hit the crossbar from 35 yards. I can stand at the 35 yard line and hit the crossbar. Like, you don't think I can do that? What are you, crazy? Mario Lemieux supposedly could stand at the blue line and hit the crossbar of the goal 9 times out of 10. Well, like tricks like that, parlor tricks like that.
No, the trick is him saying that and you believing it. That's the parlor trick. He couldn't do that.
It's a little bit like when Jeon-un in North Korea had like 10 holes in one on 180. What was his name? Johnny Yoon? Was that his name?
It was Johnny Yoon. Yeah.
Johnny Yoon. I forget. Anyway.
Well, listen, I rarely get this opportunity, but while you're in the mood to talk about Pittsburgh sports, it is 7-7, July 7th.
Yes, I know.
Do you want to give a pep talk or something to number 7? You brought him up earlier, Big Ben Roethlisberger. 7-7, it's your day. It's Ben Roethlisberger day.
All I have to say to you is, Big Ben Roethlisberger, you have taken us to 3 Super Bowls. You brought home 2 Lombardis with us. Let's punctuate a Hall of Fame career, black and golden style, before you put on that golden jacket. Let's make a quick stop over in Los Angeles County. All you ever hear about for a quarter century is, no one outside this locker room believes in you. Well, guess what? This time, it's 100% true. Nobody believes in you, Big Ben Roethlisberger, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Save one, Dave Damashek. For the rest of you, it's the Venge Tour 2021. Get on board or get out the way. Baker Mayfield's going to win the division. Please, come on.
Here, I like it.
Yeah, I'm.
You know,
I've got a Pittsburgh accent now. They're like, since you got out here, your Pittsburgh accent's gotten much worse now, Dad. I'm like, you guys got it now too, California. Good. Anyway, yes, go ahead, Seth.
That's right. Wait till they see what happens to them when they return home. Their friends will all be making fun of them. Yeah, well, maybe he decided, hey, I got you to 3 Super Bowls. That's enough. One for each river, Allegheny, Mahogany, and the Clemente, or whatever we said. But, well, there you go. 7-7. It's Ben Roethlisberger day. And
it's just yet.
What happened?
If nothing else, they're going to beat out the Ravens this year. Bet on that. Bet the over. It's now 8.5 wins for the Steelers. Pshaw, I say to that. Definitely, you've got to bet that. If the seven believer or not, you got to go over that total. But yes,
the Ravens? Oh, your Steelers are 8.5. Yes.
Yeah.
And the Ravens are 11. Yeah.
Right. The Ravens will go under 11. The Steelers will go over that. And in fact, in the standings, the Steelers will finish above the Baltimore Ravens. The Cleveland Browns, I'm not so sure about, but I do like Odell Beckham. If Odell Beckham has to say, oh, he's running full speed, this is going to be a special year. This is going to be a special year. Keep talking stuff. Keep on talking it up. Only all you're doing, put more pressure on Bake the middle-class quarterback. That's what he's going to carry you to the promised land. Baker Mayfield, the middle class QB. That's what's going to get it done and get the stink off the Cleveland Browns franchise after all these decades. Consider me skeptical.
Well, I am. I'm going to use the same logic in picking the Cowboys over 9.5 wins. I think they win the division. The Hard Knocks Cowboys, I'll throw it in there, over 9.5. I know it's a simplistic way to look at it, but I don't like the other quarterbacks. I really don't. Danny Dimes hasn't proven himself. We don't know anything. We've seen 2 good quarters out of Hurts. And what are we going to do? Fitzmagic, we know he's good for 3 games. And then what happens? I'm not sure what the story is or the plan is there. So I'm going to take the Cowboys over.
Right.
And I'll tell you something else, Shaq. People, you're going to hear this. I want you to fend them off. Everyone's like, I hear about Washington's defensive unit being the best unit in the NFC East. Well, guess what? They played, they got lucky. They played that Mullins guy on San Francisco. They played Hurts twice. The second time they played him, he played a half, and they gave up. They gave up the game, that Sunday night game, to screw over the Giants, which was fun. They played Andy Dalton times two, and they played Danny Dimes times two. So let's not get so crazy about this Washington defense. It gets tougher for them, for sure. I know Mahomes is in there. I think they have Lamar. Bunch of good quarterbacks against that Washington unit. So we'll see.
I agree. And, you know, it's hard to figure because, you know, the New York Giants were able to beat Brady's undefeated Patriots.
Right.
I mean, I know people get caught up in the Strahan stuff and everything, but legitimately, the fact that they had that defensive front and could heat up Brady for 60 minutes, and obviously they beat the Packers and otherwise on their way there. But so it makes you think like, maybe Washington could with that as the strength of the entire team. But it does feel like the must-have item in the NFL right now is like two edge rushers like that. Everybody's talking about that, whether, you know, it's Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and what a lot of teams are setting up on that. They're not special because they have that. If you are unique because you have that going and no one has the answer for that. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson's offense 2 years ago. Like no one else is doing this. So it's such a curveball to us to handle. We don't know what to do with it because we have to change our script from what we are trying to do, generally speaking. Now, I don't think that an offensive coordinator is sitting there like, well, we don't play any teams that have two good edge rushers. What are we supposed to do with Washington? It's like, yeah, we saw that 2 weeks ago when we played that other time. I think they know how to handle that.
Yeah, let's see them do it 2 years in a row. That's the thing.
I'm with you.
Yeah, really, no one stacks up to that Giants team who could rush three and get to the quarterback most times. Like, that's such an advantage. It's insane.
And I don't like when I'm required to think something's adorable because it is marketed as such. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick seems like a legit, genuine, funny guy and everything.
Sure.
But having fun being.
He should be golfing if he wants to be fun.
Right. But, that's exactly right. See, he could be in our second pairing with Romo. We're cooking with gas. The whole open shirt and whatever. It's fun. So he's like, I could have been a scrub QB, but now I'm like the main man. So I'm going to have my 15 minutes of fun with this. But the idea that we have to all get excited about Ryan Fitzpatrick, this is going to be the most fun season ever. Like, not if he throws a bunch of interceptions in mid-October, which he normally does. He usually turns into a pumpkin around, you know, week six or week eight. So have fun, Washington.
Or it's the other side, right? Or it's the flash of the pen, the last game of the year where he knocks the Patriots out of the bye situation, right? You don't know when the Lightning's going to catch, you know. But yeah, he'll have a few good games, but that's not the
wild card. Card in the division is Sal, Danny Dimes. You and Eddie Spaghetti can talk off air about it if you want and have your fight, but Spaghetti's a believer.
I could guarantee you there's no wild card in that division. I don't know.
See, I set you up real nice
Tony
and easy
Romo
for that.
2008.
You're 50 now. You're 50 now. I have to set him up on a tee for you so you can hit him out there.
That's why I'm your bucket. Hey, the NBA Finals are finally here, and FanDuel Sportsbook has a championship offer you don't want to miss. Because during the finals, new users get 30-1 odds on either the Suns or the Bucks to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Wow. So now we have Suns -5.5 over the Bucks, Shaq. You would take the 30-1 on the Suns, wouldn't you? And
of course.
Take the Bucks money line. You can make it both ways. FanDuel Sportsbook, there are more ways to win. Yes, and when you do win, you get your money. It's a layup. You get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code EXTRAPOINTS to bet the NBA Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code EXTRAPOINTS to unlock 30-1 odds on either team, the Bucks or the Suns, to win their next game. That's exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Let's shift over to hockey.
Before you do, I just have to say, I have to implore, because remember we did that with the Buccaneers. We said, don't wear the red jerseys in the Super Bowl. It'll be an eyesore for all of us. And they listened to Damashek, the uniform. They abided by my insight, and they were right. And I think everybody realizes it now that Brady looked better winning it in the white jersey against the red jersey Patrick Mahomes. Now my request is for the Suns, don't wear that black getup every game. It doesn't – you're going to look back. Trust me. Yeah. Hear me now. Believe me later. I know you think fashionista is like, oh, this is a really cool 2021. It's not going to be cool a decade from now. You're going to look back. This title that you're going to win is going to be stained when you look back by like, ooh, that uniform is ugly. It's too bad we didn't have a cool get-up. Wear the nice home whites. Wear the purple, maybe. Maybe orange. Just don't wear that all black. It's fine. Too much. So don't go down in history as that. You don't want Chris Paul holding up the O'Brien trophy in that getup. It's not right.
I get. Yeah. Conversely, though, if you're the Bucks, let's say it gets to the point you're about to be swept. Do you wear those garbage blue jerseys you and Benetta were making fun of? Like, well, maybe this will distract. Maybe this is what people will remember.
Who did they even beat? I think it was the Bucks. And if you're from Wisconsin, you're like, nope, that wasn't us. We wear green. And people.
Exactly.
10 years from now, people will be like, well, yeah, it couldn't be the Bucks. The Bucks are green.
Yes, this is a B-League team. Yeah, you don't even see any stars on it because Giannis is out. Yeah, use it to your advantage.
No flies on you. You're not senile yet, Sal.
Now, thank you. I know you like this hockey, and I want to give you a little background with this Fox Bet Live, this TV show I'm on FS1. So it's me, it's Clay Travis, it's Todd Furman. We play the game. Rachel Bonetta, she was on -3 last week, did a nice job. She is. She kind of keeps us in order. She's the Phil Jackson. But we play against each other, Shaq, since July 27th, which is the premier date for extra points. July 27th, we came back, and we've gone every weekday, but for 1 week, we've gone head-to-head. And if the Lightning win the Cup, that was one of my futures, that the Lightning win the Cup. I got it at +550. If you win the week, you get a free futures bet. I got lucky because Todd Furman's won 23 weeks to my 14, and then Clay Travis is way behind because he's not good at this or anything, really. So even though he has such a big there's a big discrepancy in how many wins, I've hit the most futures. I've hit the Bucks. I've hit the Tampa Bay Lightning. What else did I have? Oh, I had something crazy. I had Mac Jones not going top three. I hit all kinds of futures. I've had like 5 or 6 futures that won, and Furman's going nuts. If the Lightning beat the Canadians, I'm in first place with like 11 days left and by a lot, by like $1,100 or $1,200, which is a good amount for a handful of days left. I see. I know where you're going with this. Game 5, Tampa Bay -230, +190 for the Canadians. The degenerate trifecta is all over Tampa Bay, 60-minute line, -1.5. I think Harry went -2.5. Everybody thinks Tampa's going to close it out. I don't think it's going to be that easy for me. I just know how my luck is, and I think the Canadiens force a game 6. And then at that point, you and Spaghetti talked about it on -3 yesterday. Game 6 in Montreal, now the pressure is really on Tampa Bay, and game 7, who the hell knows what happens. Go ahead, talk me out of it. Tampa comes out and wins, you think? I don't think it's so easy.
I think intellectually that, yes, the Tampa Bay Lightning come out. I'm not with Harry. I wouldn't go that aggressive, but I do like the Lightning -1.5 in this one to clinch the cup and finish things off. The Habs merely delayed the inevitable. However, I do think it would be not just because it would make you suffer. You've had enough good things already, so it would be funny on that level. But also for this mayor, mayor who said out loud that something to the effect of that she hopes that they lose in Montreal so that they can win it back in this is worse than making a Super Bowl shuffle before you get to the Super Bowl video. Yeah. I mean, who puts the stink? Who puts the hex on themselves like that? And she's opened herself up to some real serious attack ads in the next election cycle if this goes sideways. And in fact, it's already too late. The attack ad should begin immediately against her. She rooted against the Lightning. You know, that's what you do in politics. You take things out of context. And she was rooting against the Lightning. Remember that, Tampa, St. Pete? I guess you don't run the mayor of Tampa and St. Pete either. I don't know how it works down there. Anyway.
Well, her name is Jane Castor, and she doubled up on it, too. She doubled down or doubled up, both up and down. She said, we will win tonight. You know, I didn't mean to get people angry.
She
guaranteed a win. And I think they have to remove her from office. Even if they lose tonight, she's got to be gone. Right? Replace her with Rachel Nichols. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Just get her out of there.
Oh, you got to impeach her. Is that what you do with the mayors? Impeach them? Yeah, you got him. If they lose tonight, I'm with you. I don't like to get so.
She's got
to
be out.
I don't like to talk politics on this show, Sal, but I got to step in here and break that rule. If they lose tonight, yes, that is not too harsh a penalty, that she must be removed from office. You can't have that. You can't have a radical like that sitting in the at the mayoral desk making these decisions. Oh, I'm really rooting for it now.
Let's try to get her on, babyface. Win or lose, Tampa Mayor Jane Castor. And I think she worked in the police force before this, so she's a tough cookie. But should not have said that. You know, Rachel Bonetta did this a few years ago. Big Toronto Raptors fan. And she had tickets to game. I don't even know what game it was. But in order for her to see them, her beloved Raptors win at Golden State, which is where she had tickets to the game, they would have had to have lost in Toronto. So she's like, well, I'm rooting for us to lose in Toronto so I could see it. I was like, oh, no. And we all told her, like, this is not how it works. No, this is not going to work out for you. This has never worked out. Guess what? It worked out. They lost in Toronto. They came back to Golden State, and that's where the Raptors won the title. And she's crying in her seat. I was like, how the hell did this? If I opened my mouth and said that, there is no way 1 in 1,000 times this would work out. And yet it worked for her. I don't know that it works for Mayor Jane Castor.
I don't even think, listen, I don't consider myself somebody who's superstitious, which is weird given what I'm about to say. But I cannot help but feel like what, not even saying it out loud, I can't even allow the thoughts in my brain.
Right.
I don't allow myself to complete the sentence, the thought sentence about, like, I hope that the Jets, these underdog Jets, beat the Patriots, because then it'll be an easier, because once you request that in your brain, even with your heart, once your gut makes that call to the sports gods, they are angry. You don't get to tell the sports gods what is, you know?
And I think it's a 10. I think this is a 10 on screwing with karma, really. Rachel Bonetta result aside, I think this is a 10. Like, talking about a no-hitter while it's happening is like a 3, I think. Because I went almost 40 years. No, we can't talk about this Mets no-hitter and nothing happened. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to talk about the no-hitter because this doesn't work, obviously. And finally, we got one. Johan Santana.
Well, it's been proven that you're allowed to. Yeah, that was a myth that you shouldn't talk about the no-hitter, because we've proven now that you can talk about it and it still happened. Yeah. This mayor jive of requesting how you want your title to happen, too far in this reporter's book. And this fan is now rooting for to see what happens with her and with Cousin Sal if the blue Blanc et Rouge. I said the spaghetti too on -3. Is there a bigger disparity between two cities in a title round? I mean, and in fact, you have Milwaukee versus Phoenix in the NBA.
Right.
Now you have Tampa versus Montreal. I don't know. I do think Montreal and Tampa, though, both probably connect on the ubiquity of strip clubs. I think that's what they have.
Oh, that's probably it.
Tampa is probably America's center of strip clubs, if Atlanta isn't, and Montreal, from what I
understand. I think so. Yeah, the Stanley Cup itself is going to see things they've not seen in a long time. One thing.
What
from
was
the mayor,
in that Stanley Cup?
She says, "Lesson learned: don't try to be funny when you're the mayor or about sports. I never wished that they lost. I just said it would be great if we won the Stanley Cup at home, which we will do tomorrow evening." This is yesterday. She said this. I don't know. I don't know that she wished that they lost, but she did more than say it would be great if we won, right?
Too late. John Beliveau heard you, and now he's pissed.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this game. Now, I have to think, like, Carey Price. Now, you have to figure, is he a hot goaltender right now, or is it the zigzag? Because I was looking at his numbers, and this is one thing that you could, you know, Tampa Bay's better than Montreal. I think every Canadian fan would admit that, but the hot goalie is something that can't be overcome. So now, his last game against Vegas, 37 of 39, he stopped. Great. Game one against Tampa, 22 of 27. Bad. Game two, 20 of 23. Decent. They lost that game. Game four, 24 of 29. Bad. Game five, 32 of 34. Are you saying it's the zig? The zig is about to zag? Or are you saying Carey Price is hot right now and stays that way?
No, I mean, Kucherov should have ended the game. He hit the post, and they would have celebrated the cup, much to the mayor's chagrin. Both mayors' chagrin, as it happens.
Right.
The you're betting on basically Kucherov to not finish again. That's a little too specific, but yeah, intellectually, again, I'll take Tampa. Now, what I will say is, though, to your point, if this game and everybody's ready for the big celebration on ice and throwing the gloves up in the full arena and the celebration, if the Blue Blanc et Rouge can get through the first 20, and what if they are up 1-0? And now Carey Price and now Kucherov's like, man, this cup should have been over. We should have won this thing up in Montreal, and now we don't want to go back up there. Those thoughts, I don't know, the mental toughness of athletes, I really think is the differentiator between the very best and the really good. Is those guys who are like, I can't think about the situation of like, if we don't do this here, we have to go to Montreal and that'll suck and we're really going to be in trouble. And then we're going to have all the momentum. Not feeling those emotions is what the superstars are able to do. But think about that, though. Think about that.
I know. Building. I don't want to think about that. That's
about
what I'm
the
saying.
Air coming
saying
out of that joint if Montreal starting to tighten up in the
neutral
zone.
They have to go up 2-0. Now it's minus 245 on the money line for Tampa. What's your pick for game 5?
I'm taking Tampa. I'm going to take Tampa, but I just say it would be
minus 245?
I do think, though, it's very fun to consider. I would like to see it. The devil in me. Would be fun to see if at midway through with the Habs with the lead, just to hear that building go silent.
I don't want to see it. All right, Joel, I think you picked the good points and bad points. We're done here. I think that was a bad point. Nobody wants to see that.
I would love to give Jane Caster the bad point, but first, good point. Watching that NBA Finals game one last night, I honestly thought, what would Dave think about these Suns jerseys? And that is my good point. The Cleveland Cavaliers won a championship in the black jerseys with sleeves. And every time I see those great highlights of the Cavs winning, I'm like, my God, those jerseys are horrible.
Yeah,
I hate to, for Sal and me, his greatest moment as a Cowboys fan in the last 40 years was when Emmitt Smith broke the rushing record, even though nobody considers him the greatest rusher of all time. Yeah. But he did it against the Seattle Seahawks when they were wearing those shiny blue foam setups. And now every time you see Emmitt Smith break the rushing record, it's like, ugh, what terrible uniform he had to do it against. And same thing, the Steelers, you know, when they won, they beat the Seahawks, they had those same hideous uniforms on. So now every time I see the bus winning the Super Bowl and Roethlisberger gets first one, I got to look at those terrible uniforms. It's no good.
So don't watch it. Don't watch it anymore. Don't watch highlights. I think that's it. Is that the worst point, Joel? Don't watch highlights? It might be.
Well, Dave, you're also getting my bad point. I'm sorry to say. The fact that you think Aaron Rodgers cares, this is a man that has gone to Hawaii this summer, is golfing, has not answered one goddamn question about football yet. I'm with Sal. I think he's with the Packers or doesn't play. And I think it's time you pull an Eddie Spaghetti. If you're that confident, it's time to make a bet and not watch a team if you're wrong.
All right. I won't watch the Packers. I can't even make that bet because I have to watch Jordan
Love.
Play
the Steelers?
I have to watch Jordan Love for the fascination of how that's going to play out. Because as I've told you, Sal, and Joel, and Spaghetti, and otherwise, the thing Aaron Rodgers is betting on is he knows that the Packers can't let Jordan Love start. He knows that's a
they'll have one bad year. They can let him play. Nope. They can go 5-12.
That's not how it goes. How it goes in the NFL. The NFL is season to season, and that roster is ready to win. And they cannot go with Jordan Love. If he goes out there, I mean, maybe he does, and then he renders error. That's the gamble for Rodgers, too. Like, what if this team is good without me? That's the scary.
I don't even think it gets to that.
I think Rodgers,
he wants to play golf. He wants to go to Hawaii. He wants to put football in the rearview mirror as much as he can. And then he'd be like, what? It's August. I got to start practicing here.
If Aaron Rodgers thinks Jordan Love's going to be good, He will come back to play because it hurts his legacy. It hurts his reputation. It hurts his ability to move in 2022 to another team, or at least the return. I guess he doesn't care what the Packers get in return for trading him. But
the Packers don't have to trade him. So sitting out a year would hurt his you know, marketability too.
But don't you see he's catty?
This is really a spiteful thing.
He's catty, though.
Well, I'm saying they can both be spiteful.
I know, but if he's sitting on the sideline and Jordan Love is bad and he's in street clothes, he'll have nothing but time to sit there on podcasts and otherwise and be like, oh, the Packers, sorry, fans, not my fault. I wanted to
But he can't trade himself, right? The Packers have to make the move, right? Like he could give up and then he looks like the bad guy and whatever. They're stuck with Jordan Love. That he could do. He could not play, but he really can't force a trade. I think that's what it comes down to.
I know, but the thing that if you're the Packers, if you don't trade Rodgers now, the thing people keep saying is what do they get out of trading him now when they could just trade him next, you know, in the off season?
They can't use those picks right now anyway. Yeah.
If Jordan Love is good though, Sal, then it makes Aaron Rodgers less valuable on the open market. Like, oh yeah, what we saw with our eyes, and people kind of have allowed, like, people jump on board with because they think they're friends with Aaron Rodgers, and so they get on board with the player Aaron Rodgers right now. The general football fan is like, Aaron Rodgers, we're in this mode of like justice for Dame Lillard. He can't be on a bad team. It's not right. You know, all that kind of crap. Fan friend or player friendly kind of attitude from sports fans out there. So people are now feeling a little bit bad for Aaron Rodgers or for whatever he deserves to be liberated from there. He has less value if Jordan Love is good and they don't skip a beat without Aaron Rodgers. Then
I don't think so. I don't think he has less value. His last game was as an MVP winner. So
I was going to say, the thing that I think people have allowed themselves to forget about is what made Gutekunst and Company draft Jordan Love in the first place, which was that even though they'd gone 13-3 and went to play San Francisco in the title game, there were legitimate doubts about it. Anybody who watched him was like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is still good. He's not as good as he was 5 years ago. And it felt like he was on the decline. 2020 was a big answer to all of that. But if you feel like if Jordan Love is like, well, just hey, they're 6-0, man. They're really good. No, they're doing great. People will start to say like, oh yeah, I guess that team is really good. And Aaron Rodgers wasn't the key factor in that whole thing. And then how do you trade him? Like what he's not worth at that point. He's not worth on the trade market what he was right now. He's valuable right now. He's the reigning MVP.
Maybe it might also be that division sucks. I mean, to me, that's the big thing. He's 11-1 against the NFC North in the last 2 years. Like, you take that stat, Aaron Rodgers, and take it. You're not going to do that in 2 years in the AFC West. You're not. You're lucky, I think, to go 4-2 against that division as a member of the Denver Broncos. Right? If you're replacing Mahomes, it's a different story. But
I know. Well, a final thought. I know we're wrapping up here, but you know. The thing to root for if you have no rooting interest with NFC North and whatever, and Patrick Mahomes or whatever, you just want to see compelling stuff happen in pro football. We should root for Rodgers to get dealt to the Broncos and have Justin Herbert's Chargers and Carr's Raiders, which will be a good offense at minimum. And, you know, Mahomes and the Chiefs and then
That's Rodgers fun. Yeah, Broncos. I mean, as a Cowboys fan, if I have an outside shot at the wild card, of course I want Rodgers out of the NFC.
Only person who doesn't like that is Eddie Spaghetti. Apparently, he likes mediocre teams. He doesn't understand.
Really?
Who wants to see good? Who wants to see the good players? Who wants to see the good teams? No one wants to see them. Why is
Spaghetti,
that?
Spaghetti, you'll just see the good. They'll be good on another team. That's all, right?
Yeah. I just said that logistically, he's not going to move, so I don't put my brain in the scenarios that like Dave puts his brain. So
you went at me for saying I wish that the high pedigree hockey teams were the ones that made the Final Four.
Well, like, you included
why
the
do you
Penguins.
Like that? Well, because they were. They won the best division in the hockey this year. So I don't think that's a stretch to say that they're a high pedigree team when they have the best player of the 21st century, and a MVP, a former MVP, and Geno Malkin on the team. I don't think that's much of a reach to say that's a high pedigree team.
All right, listen.
All right,
Jim Cunningham. Jim Cunningham wants us to wrap it up. Oh no, he's not. He's heard enough.
Still sick that the Islanders beat us. Screw you, meatball.
-3 Thursday. Listen to Eddie and Dave go back and forth on Tuesday's episode. You have one coming up Thursday with Kevin Hench, sidelined with a knee injury. There you go. But just as of really the vitriol
even,
does
even
not subside.
More mean-spirited, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laugh Lines with Michael Ian Black is up. That was a fun one.
Ooh.
We have Lemon Pepper Parlay coming up. Lots of good things. Check out extrapoints.com and Fade Harry. I think he's 0-8-1 in his last nine. They give out picks every single day. We will be back. Oh no, we won't be back. This is Wednesday already. Holy crap. We'll see you next week on Extra Points. Hopefully we'll have the mayor of Tampa Bay. We'll talk to her. Please let it be in a celebratory mood, for God's sakes. I can't lose this.
Will she take your call if they lose? Well,
yeah.
She's going to have to go into hiding if they lose tonight. So
yeah, yeah.
I have
yeah.
a hard time tracking her down.
Exactly. A reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.